10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, the program that brings light to the darkness of this world. I'm Nathan Liao, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And over the past few sessions, we have been talking about the theme of the Illuminati, and we have been looking at the New World Order plan that is taking place right now on planet Earth. And our core topic in this series has been the disclosure that was displayed at the Super Bowl on February the 2nd of 2014. This is going to be part 9 of the series. It's time to get this thing finished up because I have some messages that God has laid on my heart that I need to share, but I have to also wrap this up. You know, it's real interesting. When you start a series, there is no way of knowing how long it's going to take. But the more that I dug, as I went down one rabbit hole, I found myself in two rabbit holes. And for the individual that takes it upon himself to study the end time New World Order plan, it can become very, very complex, which results in a huge challenge. For those of you that are regular listeners, you know that I like to investigate things. I like to research and discover. So this project, which started small, has become huge. Now, was it necessary to talk about everything that I've shared? I believe so, folks, because this information is vital to stay one step ahead of what they're doing. So in this session, I'm going to talk about what I believe was a very, very revealing commercial by Bud Light. In this commercial, they revealed their deck of cards that they placed on the table. In fact, this Bud Light commercial is what I consider an open admission to what they are doing right now in American culture. And when I say they, I'm talking about the framers behind the scenes. Over the last few programs, we have exposed who they are. We have exposed the names of some of these groups. And we've also exposed the actual names of individuals. So in this session, we're going to talk about one group of individuals who is involved in the present New World Order campaign and also in the present geopolitical realignment of this planet. And what I mean by that is the framers of the New World Order, which include the Club of Rome, the BRIC nations, the Committee of 300, Council on Foreign Relations, etc., have decided. Now, if you're listening to this program and you live in the United States, my friends, this applies to you and your family. And it also applies to me because I also live here in the United States. But they have decided that America is going to be taken down. There's going to be a post-America. And this plan includes destroying the economy of America and bringing war to America. And while this is happening, their plan also includes the numbing campaign. It requires that they are able to keep the citizens of America subdued. Anesthetized, folks, numbed, apathetic, complacent, in a slumber, asleep, without care, without concern, which means, folks, that the greatest deception campaign in the history of the planet is happening right now. The greatest deception campaign which nullifies the people's ability to have an awareness of what's going on. The zombification of mental ability is taking place here in America. And if you're regular listeners, I don't have to convince you of this. You know that this is happening because for those of you that are awake, and most of you are very smart. Many of you know what's going on. Many of you know what time it is. God has shared with you. He has borne witness with you. The Holy Spirit has shown you as well that this is what time it is. And when you try to share this information with your friends, they have no clue what to make of it. They look at you with glazed eyes, without concern. They minimize what you say. Perhaps they even mock and scoff you. Perhaps they change the subject, or perhaps they just put up their hands and say, you know what, thanks for sharing, but I've already heard this. I don't want to hear it. Can we please not talk about this? The majority of America does not want to know that they're going down, that America is going over the cliff, that America is being destroyed. They don't want to know. And we could do an entire program on why this is happening. How is this even possible? Is this just sheer luck that the New World Order is able to do this without anyone's awareness? How is it possible, folks, that this plan can be in motion right now, that the momentum is building? How can most people have no clue or care or awareness or concern that this is happening? How is this possible? Well, it's a combination of various methods. There is a huge, huge engine that is behind the success of this thing. And the engine that keeps people subdued, the momentum, the wave, the tsunami, whatever you want to call it, it is very complex. It involves evil genius and wickedness. Now, the Bible tells us that this was going to happen in the last days. A great deception would come upon the entire world. We are told that Babylon would be in a slumber. The people would be asleep. The people would be subdued. There are many verses that talk about this in the end times. It talks about the darkness, the blindness that's coming, the deception. The Bible describes it with different terms. Jesus said it was the night that was coming when no man can work. At the midnight cry, it would be dark. Isaiah says that in the time of darkness, people would not know what to do. Eventually, they would curse God. As the darkness is coming over the land, it's able to have an effect on the people. It's able to put them to sleep. So what is behind it? Is it just spiritual? Is it Satan? Yeah, that's part of it. It's a very, very powerful demonic force. But in addition to the spiritual, there is also a physical portion of darkness. And when I say physical, I mean that it's in our realm. And in the physical realm, it's a combination of mental influence, mental brainwashing, public indoctrination, which encompasses the media, entertainment, movies, books, education, etc., etc. Most Americans are kept subdued through entertainment and through the media, through TV, through movies, through computer programs, through electronic entertainment. It has a lot of parts to it. And it's under the control of Satan. And then on top of that, we have the powers that be who are using technologies that most of us have never heard of. In fact, there's probably some technologies that are being used to keep people subdued. If people actually saw what they were using, it would amaze and shock and freak people out. For example, it is very possible that they are using electromagnetic energies and waves transmitted through the air, through the use of Gwen Towers and HARP and other scalar technologies that most people have no knowledge of. The cell phone towers could be transmitting a wave that's keeping people subdued. Ladies and gentlemen, the technologies that are publicly known are usually years behind the actual technologies that are being used in black budget programs by governmental agencies. Nathan, that's sci-fi stuff. That's Twilight Zone stuff. You really think so? Yeah, I do. There are technologies that are being used right now against humanity, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a Christian, they're being used against you and your family. And these technologies are being used for a lot of different reasons. And part of it has to do with the control of public consciousness and the ability of people to comprehend, to rationalize, to think clearly. Now, folks, think about that. If it were possible for the powers that be to blast a region with energy, which would put them into a fog, numb their minds, and subdue them. In the natural, if there were an evil dictator, tyrannical type individual who wanted to take over a nation, wouldn't it be a great tool to use? Can you imagine Stalin using that tool over his people? Or Adolf Hitler? If Adolf Hitler was able to subdue Western Europe when he was trying to invade the continent during World War II, wouldn't he have loved to have a tool like that? So that the soldiers would just become zombies, so that they would have no desire to fight? That would be an evil tool that would be used as an advantage by whoever owned it. Well, I believe that there are technologies that are being used over the population to keep Americans asleep and subdued. Because how else can we explain it? How else can we explain that most people do not care? If anyone is a grown-up and they have a TV and they know how to read, they can see that America is being turned into a tyrannical police state before our very eyes. The noose is tightening, and most Americans don't care. How is that possible? The land of the free and the home of the brave has become the land of the snoozing. Nathan, this is crazy information. Indeed. I know. But for the person that wants to dig, and that's what I'm saying. When I was doing this research, the more I dug, the more I found, and the more disturbing it was. Ladies and gentlemen, things are not as they appear on this planet. This is an evil world. And the Bible tells us that a one world government is going to take over and shackle the entire planet. Now, how is it possible that that thing could succeed and get to the point where it controls the entire planet without people stopping it? How is that possible? Well, a plan like that would require that they are able to place the whole world in their shackles of lies. A lot of people would have to be behind it. There would have to be an engine of thinkers and framers to design this thing. But how is it possible for the entire planet to become a slave plantation and the citizens do not uprise? You see, when we read about the end times and the quote-unquote Antichrist causing everybody to take the mark, and he causes small and great, rich and poor, to take this mark, how is it possible that he could get that far without the world resisting? And that's the question that I'm asking that most people don't consider. When most people think of the Antichrist and the mark of the beast, they consider it after the fact. Well, it's going to get here, so we have to not take it. But most people don't think about how was it able to arrive without resistance. What were the elements of social order that were required to make it happen? What caused it? How could it be? Well, obviously the thing that causes it is going to be a great deception. It's going to be a campaign that lies to everybody. And while the people are being lied to, how is it possible that they don't raise their hand from the back of the room and say, "Excuse me, Mr. New World Order Framer, I don't like this plan. Can I resist?" And how is it possible when the person who says that is ignored by everybody else? How is it possible that most people would turn to him and say, "Quit disturbing the speaker. He's telling us the great plan. Don't interrupt. This new slavery campaign is what's best for us. So be quiet, Mr. Freedom Lover." How is it possible that most Americans have turned so ignorant and blind and stupid that they do not know that Obama's doing this before their eyes? How is it possible, folks? Well, it's a combination of a lot of stuff. But part of it is spiritual deception, technological reprogramming, and shall we go further, folks? Is it possible? Technological brain numbing? Is this possible? Now, for those of you that are having a problem with this, I have a problem with it too. Because it sounds so crazy. It sounds too bizarre. But when we saw the Super Bowl, Bud Light had a commercial where they showed and revealed their playing cards. I'm going to use this session to talk about their disclosure, where they let us know how they're doing it. Now, they didn't go into the technological portion of it. However, it was full. And by the way, the commercial I'm talking about is the Bud Light Ian Up For Anything. Ladies and gentlemen, it would be very wise if we looked at their method so that we can make sure that it doesn't influence us. The method that they used was very powerful. And for the most part, if it were possible, it would deceive even the elect. And when I examine the breakdown of how they did it, if you are a follower of Jesus in these end times, and if the methods that they revealed in the commercial were coming against you, if you do not have the mind of Christ and a portion of the Bible hidden in your heart, if you do not have commitment to Jesus, if you do not have commitment to heaven and to the kingdom of God and to your family, the methods that they use will envelop you and overcome you as well. Now, Bud Light is owned by Anheuser-Busch. If you're an American, you know about Budweiser. They've been a staple company here in America for years, since the 1800s. They go way back. But a few years ago, Budweiser was taken over by a Brazilian company and is no longer owned by Americans. And this is how it happened. The richest man in Brazil, worth over $20 billion, his name is Jorge Paulo Lima. And he got together with two other billionaires from Brazil. They did a hostile takeover, and as soon as he had control of Budweiser, he fired the top members of the board, who were Americans, and he replaced them with Brazilians. Long story short, folks, Budweiser is now owned by Brazilian billionaires. Now, if this story was isolated, most people hearing this would say, well, that's just the way business is, right, Nathan? Businesses get bought and sold, and that's the way it is. That's true. However, when we consider that Brazil is part of the new alliance of the BRIC nations, and the BRIC nations consist of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and these nations have decided they no longer want to participate in the rules of the IMF, which is the West and part of the Federal Reserve. The BRIC nations have decided that they are going to forsake the United States of America and Europe, and they're going to form their own alliance and become the strongest economic powers on the planet. They decided this. They also decided that they're going to dump the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and they're going to start using gold or their own currencies or a basket of currencies. So the BRIC nations have decided that America is going down. And a member of the BRIC nations, Mr. Lehman, who is a Brazilian, bought Budweiser. So now there's a fire sale going on in America. And Mr. Lehman, the Brazilian, has stated publicly he's going to buy up America at fire sale prices. And folks, this should strike deep concern in all of you. And for those individuals who would try to say that the economy is recovering, things are going to return, how is that even possible, folks, when there is a fire sale going on right now? That is the truth. After Mr. Lehman, the Brazilian, bought Budweiser, he took over Burger King. And then after that, he did a takeover of Heinz Ketchup. So Heinz Ketchup is no longer an American company. It is also a BRIC nation company. And he did this with the help, now get this, folks, the oracle from Omaha, Warren Buffett, helped the Brazilian, Mr. Lehman, grab Heinz Ketchup. So now the BRIC nations are buying up America, ladies and gentlemen. For those people who would say the BRICS are nothing to worry about, they're over in Asia, they're in Europe, what do we care what Russia does? What threat is Brazil? For the people who would say that, ladies and gentlemen, they are buying up America right now.
If you're just waking up, it's 17 minutes past the top of the hour. Well, is it like a fire sale on American interests? China buying up U.S. companies on the cheap, and we're still stuck paying interest on money that we're borrowing from the communist country in the first place. The latest Massachusetts battery maker, A123 Systems, which is to close, well, it's being done in a deal unless regulators step in. Stu Varney's here to explain. Is it A123 or
it's
A123?
A123.
A123. Okay, look, so it went bankrupt.
It did. It went bankrupt. It's in bankruptcy court. The bankruptcy court judge holds an auction. A Chinese company wins the auction, bids, I think it was $256 million for A123, okay? China's got the money. That's the bottom line here. Mm. China's got the money. We've spent all of ours, and China is now buying up American assets like this battery company. Mm. The problem here is we, the taxpayer, we have subsidized A123. We pumped in $132 million. That was a grant. We gave it to this outfit, which is now bankrupt. And China's picking up the pieces dirt cheap. We are spending so much more than we're taking in. And we're borrowing the deficit largely from China. They recycle the money and buy our assets cheap. Mm-hmm. Are we happy with this? Obviously not.
And how interesting is it that the number one beer company in America, Budweiser, is now owned by a Brazilian? And since they're the number one beer company, now folks, think about this. Many Americans, when they get their welfare check or their unemployment check or their disability check or their paycheck, many Americans take that paycheck and they go buy Budweiser beer or some of the other products that Budweiser makes, and they sit on their couch and watch TV and drink beer and try to forget about their problems. So the dwindling middle class of America right now invests in beer from Budweiser, and the profits of that beer are being exported to the BRIC nations. Same thing's happening with Burger King, with Heinz Ketchup. The profits of the middle class of America are being exported as America stays depressed, as many of the individuals who are unemployed and disabled are battling their own private financial woes or personal woes, are sitting on the porch drinking their beer. Their money is leaving the shores of America. And this situation is not shrinking. Every day, more people are joining the ranks of the unemployed or of the disabled. And every day, those people who are depressed because they do not see a future, many of them either are smoking their weed, getting high on crack, drinking their Budweiser, and just trying to escape and forget. So as the middle class of America is the melting candle, the wealth is being exported, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Budweiser produced a commercial during the Super Bowl. I'm sharing all of this information to let you know the background of this commercial. The commercial was produced by the Brazilians. When we have that as part of the equation, that the Brazilians are the ones behind the advertising for America now, then we need to pay attention to what they sent. Now, this commercial was called Ian Up For Anything. This is the commercial where Arnold says, prepare to be crushed. Now, folks, think about this. The commercial produced by the Brazilians, by the BRIC Nation billionaires, stated, prepare to be crushed, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, America, all of you middle-class people drinking your butts, sitting on your couch, drinking your all-American beer. By the way, thanks for making me rich. And while you are making me rich because you're drinking my beer, prepare to be crushed. Now, folks, as an American citizen, as a person who grew up here in America, to see the present looting of America take place is very disturbing, and it should disturb you. But, Nathan, well, what can we do about it? Exactly, folks. America is under judgment. This is why it's happening, because America has forsaken God, and America is now melting. And how ironic is it that while America's wealth is being exported to BRIC nations, America continues to act like a bunch of knuckleheads, promoting gay marriage. Gay marriage is spreading across this country like a mad plague. And the indoctrination to accept gay marriage is spreading across America through the airwaves and through Hollywood movies and TV productions. During the Super Bowl, Coca-Cola did a commercial where they sang Oh Beautiful in various languages. And during that commercial, they showed the gay couple, the two men, roller skating with the girl that they adopted to promote gay marriage. Nathan, do you need to talk about this? Yes, I do, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's not very nice. It's not politically correct. I know. It's not very friendly. Friendly to what? Friendly to the tolerance to accept this mess? Nathan, you could be breaking some laws right now. That's true. In some parts of the world, what I'm saying right here is already illegal. You can't say anything against homosexuality because it's not politically correct. You're intolerant. You're a homophobe, etc. You know, in part one of this series, I talked about homophobia, and I got some letters from listeners who said, Nathan, don't talk about that. Just stick to the subject of the Super Bowl, but we don't need to hear your commentary on other stuff. Even amongst some of this listening audience, folks, isn't it amazing? The watchman is looking over the wall and seeing the onslaught of evil, but if he mentions certain parts of the evil, he gets a nasty letter or a letter of, don't talk about that. You're offensive. Folks, that's the world we live in. Okay, I'm digressing, but back to the Budweiser commercial. The BRIC Nation billionaires sent a message to America on February the 2nd, and they used Arnold as their mouthpiece. And Arnold said, prepare to be crushed. They were playing ping pong, because after Arnold said, prepare to be crushed, then he said, in tiny tennis. And then they had a ping pong match, and the commercial was over. Is that all it meant? Was it just all in fun? Prepare to be crushed in tiny tennis? This thing had so many layers. But in this commercial, Budweiser formed a pretend focus group, so the people did not know that it was a commercial for Budweiser. So they had random people fill out their profile, and based on the profile, they decided to focus on one of the volunteers, and his name was Ian Rappaport. So when Ian showed up at the designated location, he didn't know he was going to be in a commercial. Then the actor walked over to Ian's table, and then she holds a bottle of Bud Light, and she says, if I give this to you, are you up for whatever happens? And of course, Ian, being the typical hot-blooded, full of the desire to party, the desire for pleasure, the desire to have fun, he was the average American male. So he's sitting there, and an anonymous girl comes up and says that. So he starts laughing and says, yeah, of course I am. So what's in the drink? Is it drugged or something? Is it spiked? He grins and he laughs and she goes, well, let's leave. And he goes, okay. So then they leave the bar, and when they walk out, there's a limousine waiting for both of them. So she gets into the limousine and Ian follows her in. And he takes a limousine ride to this building where he gets out and he sees a lot of weird things in the building. They first take him to a room where a television actress is in the room, who's very famous, and she dresses him in a nice overcoat. And then he leaves, and then they get in an elevator. Then the actor Don Cheadle walks into the elevator with a llama. So then they go up to one of the higher floors to a party. And when they get to the party and he walks into the room, the party is full of a lot of dressed people, but they're all twins. The room is full of twins. And Ian makes the comment, hey, twins, this is weird. Then they get back into the elevator and they go down in the building to another floor. And then Ian follows the girl once again and he walks into this room and Arnold Schwarzenegger is in the room with a ping pong table. And the first words out of Arnold's mouth are, prepare to be crushed in tiny tennis. And Arnold says, before we play tennis, let me see your muscles. Flex for me. So Ian flexes and then Arnold says, give me 5 push-ups. So Ian then says, no, because when I'm doing my push-ups, you're going to serve and score on me. Arnold says, no, I won't. Just do the push-ups. So he starts doing the push-ups, and then Arnold serves his first shot. And, of course, Ian's doing push-ups, so Arnold scores a point. So Ian stands up and says, I knew it. I knew you were going to do that. And then they start playing ping-pong. They have 2 rounds. Ian wins both rounds. And then one of the walls where they are playing tennis in the room falls over, and there's a stage on the other side of the wall. And then there's a band playing on the stage. So Ian and Arnold and everybody goes out on the stage, and it's a concert by the band One Republic, which, by the way, folks, speaks volumes. I'm going to comment on that later, but for those of you that can see it, it's pretty obvious. So let me play this commercial. I know I shared everything going on, but I was giving you a little bit more detail because I'm going to talk about these things. I need to talk about them, folks. They reveal so much about what the Brazilians and the BRIC billionaires, who are also friends with Russia and China, have in store for America. This commercial is a peek at what they have in store for us, for America, and for this planet. So here we go, folks. I'm going to play it. Listen to this.
All right, he's alone. I'll send her in.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm Kelly.
Ian.
Ian?
Ian. Pleasure to meet you.
If I give this to you, are you up for whatever happens next?
3 seconds ago, we gave Ian Rappaport a Bud Light and a choice. Ian is not an actor. He has no idea what's going to happen next.
I think I could do that.
All right, he's in a limo, Reggie. That's you.
How are you? What's your name?
Ian Rappaport.
Ian Rappaport.
Ian.
Oh.
Minka, can you hear me?
I hope I don't mess it up.
Hey.
Hey.
Ian. Very nice to
Minka,
meet you.
Nice
Minka,
to meet you.
Definitely know who you are.
We need coach for
okay.
Ian.
It's pretty awesome being styled by Minka Kelly tonight.
I wish I could come with you.
I know. I wish you could too.
Bye, guys.
Minka, that was awesome. They're coming in now, guys.
Open the door.
Joe.
Good evening.
Hello, Lily.
Hey!
There.
Come on.
Lily. Lily.
Hey, Don. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Nice to see you.
Are we ready to go? Nice to have you.
Stand by. Hey,
open
Kevin.
The door.
Door, 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 door.
Twins?
Yes.
This is a bizarre day.
Take care of it.
Everyone here is a twin?
My mind is blown.
They're on their way down.
Prepare to be crushed in tiny tennis.
Okay, let's see the arms. See all the go palm. They're very good. Just give me 5 push-ups.
1, 2.
I knew it. Bring it up. They're beautiful girls, huh?
Come on, Arnold.
Don't be shy when it comes to counting for me. You can do better than that. Come on. Ready, my little man here. It's not a bad shot for my little princess.
The perfect beer for when you somehow find yourself in a limo with Reggie Watts and some bachelorettes, then get styled by Minka Kelly before Don Cheadle, a llama named Lily, and the identical twin of the girl you just met take you to a party where you defeat Arnold Schwarzenegger in a sudden-death ping-pong match that puts you on stage with One Republic. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens.
All right, what did this commercial mean? Some of the things they shared were probably obvious, but let me just break it down. Now, first of all, they had cameras everywhere, but Ian had no clue that he was being filmed. So what they were showing us at the very core, You are being watched everywhere you go. In this commercial, there were cameras behind everything, watching Mr. Ian get seduced by a woman. And she says, if I give you this, are you up for whatever happens? And here's the seduction starting. Yeah, sure. Why not? Party. A chick. Neato. Yeah. Alcohol. Maybe I'm going to get something out of this. See, Ian was being tempted. Right there, folks, think about this. Privacy is gone, but it goes deeper than that. The New World Order was represented by those that were filming, by those that were providing the party and the entertainment and the booze. The New World Order was providing the party. So in the upcoming production that is approaching us and that is actually taking place right now in America, there is a huge campaign to keep America in a perpetual party. There's lust, fornication, and there's sex. As long as there's a party going on, they will not know. They will not suspect because they're occupied. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. The way that the New World Order is going to get the people to concede willingly is to provide pleasure for them. That's why there is a huge campaign now for gay marriage that nullifies the family unit, a mom and a father. That's why there is a huge campaign that promotes promiscuity and sex and lust. Because when people are occupied with the pleasures of the flesh, Satan knows he has a grip on them. So in this Budweiser commercial, Ian's sitting in the chair, unsuspecting that the woman is seducing him with flattery and with alcohol. But she has an earpiece in her ear. She's being fed by the people behind the camera, by the people in the control booth. Do this, say this, go here. So here's how the seduction campaign of America is taking place. The New World Order has their quote-unquote poster children of lust and betrayal and fornication and flattery. Meaning they use entertainment. They use the popular singers, for example, Miley Cyrus, the very confused one, Rihanna, Madonna, Beyonce, Jay-Z. All of those entertainers are minions and puppets of the New World Order. So the girl says, are you up for whatever happens? Yes. So they get up, they leave the bar, and they get into a limo. When he gets into the limo, there's a bachelorette party with a DJ inside of the limo. Again, the party continues. The DJ keeps the music going. The limo has a bunch of bachelorettes that are partying, and Ian's just flabbergasted. Wow, this is great. In the natural, most guys would say, wow, that sounds pretty cool. Get in a limo full of chicks and women? Yeah. But little do they know that the woman that is pulling Ian along has put a ring in his nose and is dragging him behind her. And he's willfully following. When Ian got into the limo, did he ask where it was going? No. He didn't care. Because once he was hypnotized with pleasure, with sex, with promiscuity, he didn't care where they were going. And folks, there it is again. The New World Order uses promiscuity and carnality to disarm people from asking the question, where is this leading me? Where am I headed? How amazing is it, folks, that when human nature gets captivated by its fleshly lust, it turns off its brain. It turns off vigilant thinking. Oh no, I'm in a limo and I don't know where it's going, but this is fun. There's a ride, ladies and gentlemen. Let us glean from this. Dad, a warning to all the gentlemen out there. There is an ongoing campaign to stick a ring in your nose and lead you into the ways of the lust of the flesh. Satan wants to place you inside of his red vehicle. And Satan wants to place you inside of his limo that's full of comfort, portrays wealth. Satan wants to pamper you so that you will turn off your vigilance and stumble. But here's the deal, folks. The seductress is part of a giant deception campaign. And the seductress has handlers speaking into their ear, telling them how to lead you to the destination which you have no clue about. Now, in this commercial, they used Hollywood actors because they first went to a dressing room where a Hollywood actor was waiting for him. I don't even remember her name, but Ian sure knew who she was, and Ian was flabbergasted. You're going to dress me. Wow, this is neat. And so she gives him a coat. He says, wow, I wish you could come with us. And she says, bye-bye. So there's another clue right there, folks. Satan uses the New World Order, and then the New World Order uses Hollywood, and Hollywood will use their actors and actresses to woo and flatter and to pull along the middle class of America, because Ian represents the average American. So Ian gets a suit. Wow, this is a great night. And then he gets in an elevator, and the elevator goes up and it stops, and then the actor Don Cheadle gets in. He's standing there with a llama. And behind him is a door of an apartment, and the door says number 3 on it. And next to the door are 3 lamps also on the wall. So it's 3 and 3. Again, Illuminati symbolism, 3 and 3. And together, it's 33. So Don Cheadle gets into the elevator. The elevator man says, "Hi, Lily," which is the name of the llama. Lily the llama. And then we hear from behind the scenes, they're coming down now. I want to stop and make a comment on this for a moment. In the scriptures, in the book of Isaiah, there's a reference in Isaiah 34, verse 11 about the owl that will dwell in the remnants in the desolation of Babylon after it's destroyed. And the word for owl in Isaiah 34 does not mean owl. And this is one of the areas where the translators probably didn't understand what to do with this word. So they said owl. But the original Hebrew word for the owl in Isaiah 34 is Lilith, the demon creature that exists as part of the creepy army of Satan. In other words, folks, some of the demons and fallen spirits who are part of Satan's kingdom have names. Now, I've talked about Nergal in the past, a demon that was worshipped in Babylon and has recently played a role in Obama's administration. But Lilith is a demon who is going to play a role in the destruction of Babylon, because it says in Isaiah 34 that Lilith will dwell in Babylon. Well, here in this commercial, we have a llama who's called Lily. Lily the llama. When the elevator attendant says, "Hi, Lily," and then behind the scenes, we hear the director saying, "They're coming down." Let us look below the surface layer. The spirits in the end times who dwell in the air, the principalities and powers of the air, are going to come to earth and wreak havoc on the earth. We're also going to see the event that we are told about in Revelation chapter 9, where there was a great war in heaven and the angels kicked out the demonic fallen angels, who will be thrust down on the earth, and then Satan will also be thrust down in the earth, and he will have great wrath, and we are told in Revelation, "Woe to the earth, because he knows he only has a short time." So Satan is coming down with his fallen angels. In the Budweiser commercial, we hear the words, "Hi, Lily," or Lilith, the demon, and then the director says, "They're coming down." And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if we are willing to look below the surface, this is very, very telling. It reveals that the Illuminati also knows that demonic influence is coming down to earth, and that the average person has no clue that they are standing next to demonic spirits, which, by the way, Lily the llama belonged to Don Cheadle. So we could play with that one a little bit. We have Donnie's llama, which is a play on words of Dalai Lama. And we can also see that in a Disney movie that was released a few years ago, one of the characters was the demon llama. So the llama has been used even in cartoons to represent demons. How interesting is it? They called this llama Lily. Lily the llama is coming down. So Ian rides down, and while he's in the elevator, he looks over at Don Cheadle and he says, "Hey Don, are we wearing the same coat?" Lo and behold, folks, they are. Because when Ian was given the coat to wear in the dressing room, it was the same exact one that Don Cheadle was wearing. Now, why did they do that?
Open the door.
Joe.
Good evening.
Hello, Lily.
Hey!
There. Come on. Lily. Lily.
Hey, Don. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Nice to see you.
Are we wearing the same coat?
So he is wearing the same exact coat as Don Cheadle. There's a reason for that. It's to represent the yin and yang Hegelian dialectic belief of dualism that we find in the Illuminati Freemasons. Now, dualism is a weird concept where the Illuminati and Freemasons actually believe that light and dark require one another to exist, and God and Satan need each other to exist. It's the belief of opposites, where you have black and white, hot and cold, life and death, God and Satan. In their eyes, there is no such thing as good and bad. And I mentioned this in the previous session, but I'm going to mention it again. When they look at reality that's here on earth, to the Illuminati, death and life are the same thing. They believe that death is necessary to have life, because they believe that life and death is a circle. They believe in reincarnation, and it goes into the pagan belief that involves the number 3. The pagans have illustrated this in their astrological map, where inside the middle of the zodiac, it's divided into three sections, life, death, and then rebirth. It's a circle that continues forever. So to the Illuminati and to the Freemasons, life and death work together. It's a cycle that mankind goes through. So they believe that if their New World Order is going to come into being, there needs to be chaos or death before the rebirth and the new life. And that's a circle that is always repeating. So they envision the finality where they will be able to cut the ribbon and say, we made it. We're here at the new order of the ages. Their utopian society where the phoenix has risen and where their new method of government has established itself and where the elite are in control. But before that can happen, when you go backwards, you have to have disorder and death and mayhem and fire and black and darkness and nighttime. So the darkness and the nighttime and the black and the death and the mayhem is offset by utopia and light and daytime and order and rebuilding. I know that this sounds weird, but it's the yin and yang. This is not new. The New Age believes this, and most of the world's Eastern religions believe in this. I mentioned Janus in the previous session, the Roman god that had two faces. That's the same thing. If we were to be able to take a peek at many of the Freemasonic lodges and temples across the country, the floor is often made of tiles that look like a chessboard. They're black and white. And that's what this illustrates. Black and white. Order, disorder. Life and death. So when Ian was in the elevator and he looked at Don Cheadle, he said, hey, we have the same jacket on. What they were saying right there was Don is a black man. He's an African American. And Ian is a white man. But they're wearing the same suit. So, in essence, they're the same. It was the hint at dualism. And right after Ian says that, then the elevator stops, and the girl that Ian is with is standing next to him. But then another girl gets on the elevator. She's the twin of the girl that was with Ian in the elevator. So, Ian's date, in other words, has a twin that gets on the elevator. And Ian goes,
twins?
Yes.
This is a bizarre day.
So now dualism again is reinforced. Then the elevator door shuts and they go to another floor. When they arrive at the party, then Ian says the same thing. Wow, twins. Everybody's a twin. And the camera pans the room and all the girls are twins.
Everyone here is a twin? My mind is blown.
Once again, folks, this is an in-your-face admission to the Freemasonic belief of dualism and the Hegelian dialectic of order out of chaos. It showed that their order has to come out of chaos. And here's the part that's disturbing. The cameras behind the scenes are making all of this happen. So the twins are under his control, which also reinforces the New World Order reality that they have formulated all of this. The Hegelian dialectic, the order out of chaos, of the events that take place to the unsuspecting middle class are under their control, and they're behind it. And by the way, when Ian was in the elevator, he makes the comment, this is a bizarre night, which is another hint, ladies and gentlemen, that we, as Americans, and as Christians throughout the world, we're entering a bizarre night. Nighttime, folks. Daytime is over. Prosperity is over. The comforts of the past are over. The easy road that we had up to this point here in America is over because now we are entering the night. And my friends, this is not fun to share, but this is the reality of where we are. We're entering a bizarre night. So as the commercial continues, by the way, I forgot to mention that as the elevator closes, when they're going up to the party where all the twins were, the TV screen shows the outside of the building and then it shows what time it is. And I find this very, very interesting. The screen flashed the time, and it said 12:11 a.m. And when it flashed that, and then he went into the room with all the twins, the director says they're on their way down. So 11 minutes after midnight, they are on their way down. Now, of course, on the surface layer, they would say, well, they're just talking about Ian and the llama and the actor and the twins. But it's more than that, folks. We are entering the middle of the night. And at 11 minutes past midnight, their plan is going to take place. The onslaught of the participants of the New World Order are going to be released and come down. By the way, interesting number, 11. In 2001, on September 11th, we had the World Trade Center attack, which was on the 11th. But in this commercial, it says 12-11, which signifies the twins. We saw that. The twins showed themselves with the number 11. So once again, the reinforcement of the Hegelian dialectic is all over this thing. It's under their control. It's their production. And they're using their minions, their actors, and their great influence to keep people subdued, unaware of what's going on. As the commercial progresses, they go down to the lower floor where Ian meets Arnold in that room with the ping pong table. And that's when Arnold says, "Prepare to be crushed." And then there's a pause, the music plays, and then he says, "In tiny tennis."
Prepare to be crushed in tiny tennis.
Now, what did that mean? What did the ping pong match represent? I thought about that a lot, back and forth. What could it be? Was it a hint at something? Was it harmless? No, I don't believe that, folks, because when Arnold has the tennis match with Ian, they have two matches. They play twice, and Arnold says the first 1-5 is the winner. Well, Ian wins the first one, and then he wins the second one, and then the wall falls down. Now, when Arnold meets Ian, he has Ian do push-ups. So Ian is flexing his muscles and starts warming up. And then Arnold does the first serving, and Ian's not there to stop it, so Arnold gets a point. Now, if we were to associate the warm-ups and the serving from Arnold as a military exchange, which I believe it was, I believe that this is what this represented. Of course, I could be wrong, and if some of you have some other suggestions, please email them to me, but at this point in my evaluation of this commercial, it appears that this represents the West against the East, America against Europe, or in other words, the United States against Russia. Now, right now in the Ukraine, we have the Ukrainian crisis occurring. And for those of you that have been paying attention, it appears now that we have boots on the ground covertly in the Ukraine through contractors or through CIA covert agents. And also at the same time, Russia has their contractors and military agents also causing disruption, while we have our provocateurs causing disruption. So right now, the United States is taking part in maneuvers. NATO is building up the forces in Eastern Europe, and there are war games that are taking place in Eastern Europe involving America and NATO allies. On the other side of the border, Russia is taking part in their military exercises. So warm-ups are happening from both sides. So when we look at this tennis match, Ian flexes his muscles. In other words, America flexes their muscles. And then Ian starts doing push-ups to get warmed up. In other words, America is taking part in war games and maneuvers to get warmed up. While Ian was doing the push-ups, Arnold served the ping-pong ball. It was a good serve, but Ian wasn't standing there to hit it back, because he was doing push-ups, and the match started. And Ian stood up and said, "See, I knew it. I knew you were going to serve when I wasn't ready." And Arnold says, "That's 1 point for me."
One, two, three. I knew it. Bring it up.
In other words, while America is doing maneuvers or warm-ups, or maybe it'll be some of the Eastern European allies who are doing warm-ups, at some point during the warm-ups, if this tennis match is an illustration of what's coming. During the warm-ups, at some point, Russia is going to volley a shot across the border. Now, I'm not saying this is exactly how it's going to happen, folks. It could be the other way around. But at some point, war starts when the first shot is fired. So who's going to fire the first shot? Will it be Russia? Will it be NATO? I don't know. But right now, we have this thing developing. So in this Bud Light commercial, I find it interesting that we can see the same thing in this tennis match. Well, the first match occurred, and Ian won. He was the first one to score 5. While they were doing the match, Arnold had an earpiece. When Ian won the first match, the director told Arnold, "Play another match. We're not quite ready yet." So Arnold said, "Okay," and he started another match. So in other words, the handlers of the New World Order, now listen to this, folks, this is so profound. The handlers of the New World Order, which do involve NATO as well as the BRIC nations, both sides, while they are preparing for the one world government to arrive, their New World Order to arrive out of the chaos, there has to first be conflict or a match. In other words, a war has to happen. When Arnold was playing the tennis match and he lost the first round, he was told in his earpiece, play another round. We're not ready. So when we look at that and then we compare it to the present developments in Europe or even in Syria or in different parts where there's conflict happening between us and Russia in these different scenarios, eventually out of the ashes of the coming war, and folks, I fully believe there's going to be a coming war where we are going to engage with Russia and China. They need a war first before the wall will come down into the New World Order. So until they're ready, it's going to be a warm-up session, like Ian warmed up, and then there'll be the actual war that will start. So Arnold and Ian started going back and forth with the ping pong match. So the war is going to happen, but then if the war is too quick, the handlers of the New World Order will say, do another match. We're not ready yet.
Oh, now there we go.
We're getting stuff, right? It's not dropping yet. It's not dropping.
What do you say?
Play another game. Play another game.
Okay, we play another game.
Yes.
We play another game. Let's watch. Okay. All right, guys. Okay. Let's go. All right, miss. There we are. Oh, nice job. Nice job.
Tell me when they're ready. How often they're ready.
Okay, did you hear that? Ian won. There's clapping. And then Arnold is told to do another match. So in the war that is coming, is it possible? And I'm just asking this out loud. Is it possible that there will be a skirmish, maybe a self-contained war, maybe it'll be a quick war in the Ukraine or in Eastern Europe or in Syria or in Iran, but that one won't be enough because the handlers of the New World Order will say, we're not ready yet, have another war. So then that would mean another theater somewhere else. So is it possible we'll start with the Ukraine, that one will finish, and then they'll say, well, we still need another one. Have another match in Syria or in Iran. Who knows, folks? I have some opinions on where they might happen. Maybe they will even be domestically here in the United States. Maybe we'll get attacked here. But until they're ready, they want the match to happen, the war, the back and forth volleys, the exchange of gunfire, missiles, destruction. So in the commercial, they had a second tennis match, and then Ian won again. And when he scored the fifth point, then they said, okay, here we go. And the wall fell down that was next to the ping pong table. Now, Ian didn't know this, but he ended up being on the stage. Now, folks, this speaks volumes. One Republic is the name of the band. In other words, after the match, we will be on the stage with the New World Order, with the One World Republic, the One World Order, or the New World Order, the global One World Government. Now, it was not a coincidence that Bud Light did this. For those of you that might be doubting or struggling with this, there are too many variables that point to this. And one of the most obvious variables is that at the end of the match, they were on the stage with quote-unquote One Republic. Folks, that speaks so much truth. They're telling us we are all eventually going to be on the same stage with One Republic. There's no escape. In other words, Ian, who represents John Q. Public, the average middle-class American who allows himself to be wooed and controlled and navigated by lust and passion and sex and pleasure, while he's following along the New World Order handlers, he's going to end up on the stage with One Republic. In other words, he is going to end up there. The average American citizen is going to end up in the One World Government. In other words, every one of us, this entire planet, every citizen is going to end up on the stage with One Republic. Folks, this is Bible prophecy. If it's Bible prophecy, there's no way we're going to stop it. Now, we do have a good ending to this. It's the return of Jesus, and those that can endure to the end will be saved. But I'm sharing the course of events that are going to get us to this reality. And during this Bud Light commercial, they were showing us that this is going to be the reality and the conclusion. This is what they have in store. Now, when Arnold served the first shot, Ian was not ready. Ian was on the ground. So once again, folks, the theme that we have heard many times during this entire Super Bowl production was prepare. Now, in sessions 5 and 6, I shared about the prepare message. I shared about how many people will not be ready. Even though they're told to prepare, they won't be ready in time, and the events will start before they're ready. And in this Bud Light commercial, we saw the same thing because he said, prepare to be crushed. And then he did the first volley when Ian was not ready. And Ian represents the general population. He represents the average American citizen. So the fighting will start. The first volley will go over the bow of the ship when the average American is not ready. So ladies and gentlemen, please do not let that be you. And I'm not just talking about practical measures of being ready. I'm talking about the spiritual aspect. We have to constantly be in a state of spiritual readiness. Now this means that we have to make sure that our relationship with God is always at a place that's healthy. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you are struggling. Some of you are facing some of the biggest challenges, the biggest ones in your life. But I want to encourage you that you can get ready. Improvement can come. Because Jesus wants to see you make it. He cares about you. Now, I know I got pretty fired up in the previous session when I was talking about how the inundation of indoctrination is occurring on our families, our children, our loved ones. But we have to get fired up about this stuff. It has to matter. Because if it doesn't matter to us as remnant believers, how is it going to matter to our loved ones? If the things that are happening right now do not matter to you in a manner that will influence you and encourage you to do some changes and do something about it, how will changes happen if it doesn't matter? So please, my friends, let it matter because it matters to Jesus. It mattered so much to him that he died for us. It mattered so much to him that he came down here and he put up with this mess, the mess of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, we have not lost hope. I know that these are dark days, but we can find hope even in the darkness because Jesus promised that we can. Heavenly Father, thank you for challenging us. Thank you that even in the midst of great darkness, we can find the light and we can find strength. And God, I pray for every person listening. I pray for those that are struggling. I pray for those that may be distraught, confused. God, strengthen them and show them, God, that there is hope, that you love them and that you want to see them make it and that they can make it. Show them that their families can make it. Draw us by the power of your Holy Spirit to you. And all of those individuals out there who are struggling right now, draw them to you in repentance and show them that you can forgive. You can forgive sin. You can break the strongholds. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please be encouraged. Please do not give up. Jesus wants you to know that you can make it. Stay strong. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven will not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. The King There is no need to dread. No more night. No more pain. No more tears. Never cry. I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there.